Marilyn, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Marilyn.
It's good to be here tonight. I'm getting myself organized here. Hello, folks on Zoom. It's good to see you also. This is one of those steps. The step 11 and 12. Okay, now you can hear me, right?
There we go.
Okay. I think I'm 6'5". That's why I was living it up there. This is a long step, as is 12, longer than the other ones. So I'm tackling it by breaking it down into phrases, because that's how my brain works. So I apologize if that gets confusing. Hopefully it won't. So the first phrase that I want to talk about is sought through prayer and meditation. And I'm like, sought. Why would I ever even think much about that word? Well, it's the past tense of seek, to seek. And it's a verb. So we sought. And that basically means we're searching or asking for or looking for something. In this case, we're looking for conscious contact with God, I believe. The Big Book has a story, and it's the last, I believe it's the last paragraph in We Agnostics, and it talks about a minister's son who had totally given up on God and became an alcoholic and probably just was really having a rough time in life, and he had a spiritual experience. And when he had that spiritual experience, it gave him spiritual clarity, and he was able to restore his relationship with God. And I think that's the journey of a lot of us. It certainly has been the journey for me in this program. At the very end, the last sentence in that paragraph is no longer talking about the man, but it's talking directly to us. And it says, even so has God restored us all to our right minds. He has come to all who have rightly sought him. When we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us. And I just found that to be very comforting. And it actually has been my experience over the years. I was like the minister's son who kind of gave up on the God idea for many years. So this may sound a little presumptuous, but I think we're all seekers. And I think we're all seeking some kind of a spiritual connection. I know for me, I had sought a spiritual connection and meaning through alcohol and the behaviors that were associated with my drinking, which weren't very, very upstanding, shall we say. But I had a friend one time that is no longer in my circles, for probably good reason, but she said, hey, I get high so I can have a spiritual experience, because I can't have one without it. Well, before recovery, I used to look for a relief, but it was only temporary, and I did that, of course, through alcohol. But what it did create for me was just a bigger void in my life, a bigger spiritual void. So it certainly did not work. There's a French guy that lived in the 1600s, and I'm going to be mean here. I call him Blaise Pascal. His name is Blaise Pascal. But he's French, and I thought I'd put a little French twist to it. And he's no longer with us, so I can get away with it. He was a French mathematician, a physicist, and he also did a lot with religious philosophy, I guess. He had a lot of writings. But this is a quote that has really, really spoke to me over the years in recovery, because it has certainly been true for me. There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man, and I put in parentheses person, which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator. And I think that's why for years none of my little self-driven antics proved to fill any kind of a void for me. The next word in this little phrase, sought through, I thought, I'm not even mentioning that word, and I thought, well, I better, because it is kind of important, because we sought through something. It indicates that we're choosing an action. We're trying to do something to get what we're looking for. And you can't do that by osmosis, and you can't do that by just expecting it to happen. You have to work for it or look for it. So, actually, in this step, it's the spiritual connection and guidance from a higher power that we're seeking, we're looking, we're trying to, we're sought through. Now, what are we seeking through? Next word, prayer. Now, there's a lot of ways to pray, and I'm not going to go into them at all, but prayer, basically, as far as I understand it to be, I can't see you over there, huh? You're way over in the corner behind this for me, but prayer is a sincere spiritual communication with God or our higher power to humbly express. There's many things we can express: gratitude, thankfulness, adoration, confession, or we can seek help, ask for help. The purpose, I believe, in this step, though, is that we're trying to access the power. And we saw it through prayer and meditation. But first, before I get all the way to there, I want to give you another quote from the big book on page 52, and this is in We Agnostics. That is my favorite chapter. It just spoke to me spiritually. It answered so many questions for me. And so I go back to it all the time. But on page 52, it says, "When we saw others solve their problems by simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did." So basically, praying is humbly coming to God for guidance. Now we're down to meditation, and there's many forms of meditation. And I pursued a lot of them, and that was way before recovery. I went to a weekend retreat on transcendental meditation, and I did some other things. And one was meditating through sculpturing. That was a little wacky, but I tried it, and I'm not an artist or a sculptor, so it didn't turn out so well. But what it basically means, I think, is to engage in thought or contemplation, ponder, think, or muse on something. I have a form of meditation that I used to use. I used to jog, and this was before I got sober even, but then after I got sober, and I'd jog, and that was a time when my mind would finally shut down. It would stop. It's like, spinning and craziness. And because I had my body, working, I think my mind shut down, and I was able to really center on a thought or a prayer, whatever it was. And so I call that, what I used to do the most was meditation through visualization. And what that basically means for me is that I seldom had the foggiest clue what I needed to do about something. But if I visualized a solution, or if I, later on I would visualize, and I still do this from time to time, what I think that God is trying to say to me. And so I have this, like, in my active imagination or mind's eye, I have a conversation. And that, to me, works. It has really helped me over the years. I consider meditation to be a very, very precious God gift. I've heard it said that prayer is talking to God and meditation is listening or hearing your higher power saying or, you know, communicating with you. And that's just fine. Maybe some of you will have questions on that later. I like your questions, by the way. The next phrase is to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. Okay, the word improve. Over the years, I have noticed that I need a lot of improvement in a lot of areas. But it basically means, to me, it's a dynamic, growing, or improving relationship with God. So it's not something that's static and stays the same, but I feel that it grows and grows deeper and closer over time, which I really am grateful for. So to improve conscious contact with God, conscious. I'd like to think I'm conscious right now, but you tell me later. But conscious contact, being spiritually awake maybe, or conscious, in touch with the here and now. And I need to be in touch consciously at all times, because I can take a dirt road easily, with my feelings and also with my needs and what's going on within me. So conscious contact with God. The goal of the 12 steps is to have a spiritual awakening, which comes from practicing the steps and using the tools of prayer and meditation. And that's how we relate to God. That's how we get to know him and know more of the God concept. I have a simple prayer that I often say in the morning during my prayer time. It's like, I just want to know more of you. And then I say thank you, because I'm anticipating that I may know more of him throughout that day. In Appendix 2, there's two forms of conscious contact that's mentioned in the big book. And that's the spiritual experience and the spiritual awakening. And I think if you haven't read the Appendix 2, please read it, because it's really very helpful. But the first one is spiritual experience. And these two have to be kind of contrasted a little bit. But the spiritual experience is, as it says in the appendix there, sudden revolutionary changes that result in immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed by a vast change in feeling and outlook. And that's pretty exciting. I'd like to have one every day. But that doesn't quite work out that way. This is not an experience that even everyone in recovery or in their spiritual quest or journey experiences. So don't feel like you have to have one. I think that's up to our higher power. The second one is spiritual awakening. And most of us have what he was a psychiatrist, William James, called it an educational variety of awakening, because it develops slowly over time. And it's not that sudden wow thing. It can be very subtle. So it's a God consciousness, but it's more gradual. And actually, I call them my aha moments, where I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Now I understand that. And I attribute that to God speaking to me in an awakening way. I like having realizations. because it's like I can move beyond whatever I'm stuck with at the time. I think that both experiences are valid, and the only thing is that there is no competition. It's like I've heard people like, "Oh, I've had all these wonderful spiritual experiences," and I feel, "What about me? Why can't I have them too?" But I have actually. I'll tell you a little one that, well, it wasn't so little at the time, but I was still drinking. My drinking hadn't ramped up like it did in the last 5 years of my career of drinking, but. I knew there was a problem. I had issues with depression, terrible issues with depression, and go figure, alcohol is kind of like a depressant drug, so it really didn't help my depression any. But I would be depressed. I'd get my daughter off to school. She was like in first and second grade, and I would pull myself together, get her to school, fall apart during the day, sometimes sit in the corner or just sit just all day. But she'd get home around 2, so I'd get myself up and out around 1, put water on my face, do something to try to be functional at that time. And this one day, and I don't know why I did it, because energy was not really what I had much of back then, but I decided that I would walk. We had a pond. I'd walk around the pond and up the hill. It was a retreat house. And I would walk up that hill and just try to get myself, my head together, so I could be her mom when she got home. So on my way back down the hill, I realized that I did not know whether the sun was out. I didn't know anything about the day. It was late spring. I didn't even know if there were leaves on the trees. That's how into myself I was. And I thought, I had this thought, I need to look up. And as I looked up, blue sky, the leaves were on the trees, and there was a low hanging maple branch, and on that branch was a butterfly. It was doing one of these like things where they dry their wings, I guess. And that was, just this feeling came over me. And in that moment, I realized that God was with me and that it gave me hope. I didn't get sober right away, but I did know that I had a problem, and I started seeking through reading and through counseling to figure out what the heck was wrong with me. Unfortunately, the counseling didn't work too well because I failed to mention that I drank. So it didn't help very much. So if you've had a spiritual experience, it's wonderful. But we've all had spiritual awakenings, or you wouldn't be in this room tonight. So it's all good as far as I'm concerned. To improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Our relationship with God is a very personal and unique dynamic thing, because God knows us and our individual needs. There's no cookie cutter definition of a relationship with God other than that He's the creator and we're the created. And that's good enough for me. What I had to do, and I think we have to do in recovery, is to be open and willing, or change can't happen anyway. Having the understanding that this is a higher power directed spiritual program is key to recovery. In the past, I had experiences with theologies that attempted to define God and also tell me what my duties were. Which I just love being told what to do. It just really pleases me. Yeah. That's sad. But what that did is it just left me feeling like there was a standard that I could never reach. When I came to AA, and this almost like makes me cry when I'm going to read it because I will cry. In AA, I met a God of love, grace, and mercy who is forgiving and nurturing. And that's what I needed. And that's why this program has worked for me. I now enjoy a more personal relationship with God, and I believe that grows every day. Praying only for knowledge of His will only means solely or exclusively. Prayers for knowledge, awareness or familiarity, understanding truth and principles. That which is known. We are knowing God's will from the inside out, and I like that. In our spiritual center, you could call it your God center. Some people may call it the soul. The big book on page 55 says, we found a great reality, God, deep down within us. Within is from the inside out. And that just started to make sense with me, because it was a God sense that seemed to emanate from the inside out. Our intimate relationship with God provides truth, and it also provides direction. Of His will for us, then, is our desire to know what we're supposed to do. What the heck am I supposed to do? It's God's will, not mine. And actually, to tell you the truth, that was very relieving to know that I didn't have to run the show all the time and have all the answers. So it was very, very freeing. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Well, through my drinking, I drained myself of all power of choice, and all it left me with was dysfunction, desperation, and a whole lot of consequences that I didn't really want to experience. And those consequences came to my body, my mind, and my spirit. The process of step 11 nurtures my relationship with God and enables me to be of service according to His will, giving me what I needed most, which was meaning and direction. To carry that out is obedience and desire to do God's will. It also means to follow through on a task or a mission. And I wasn't really good at that. I would take dirt roads a lot, and I'd give off on tangents, and I just was you know, kind of floundering for a long time. Tradition 5, which we heard tonight, tells us our primary purpose in AA is to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. We rely on His power because with this dynamic relationship with God, we are, without it, I should say, we're powerless. I don't have any power without direction from my higher power. So, this particular seeker loves having a closer relationship with God. It gives him meaning in life. Before recovery, I struggled with finding meaning and purpose. And that kind of led me to feel very hopeless. To know and to be known. Now, I think I've said this before, but for those of you that are here for the first time or whatever, I am an introvert, and this is not my comfort zone. Okay? But, you know, it doesn't really matter, because I am learning and to know and be known. And with COVID, I spent 2 years pretty isolated. And this just feels like healing, because I'm connected with others. So our connection with God leads us to connection with each other. And I think that's very, very powerful, and it's just a God gift. So I practice the steps, not perfectly by any means, but I do it because I no longer want to hide in my masks of pride, ego, self-will, and a myriad of character defects. They don't rule me these days. They sneak in, and I have to like deal with them, but they don't rule me. They don't control my life anymore. So in summary, step 11 gives us the tools of prayer and meditation to connect with God as we understand Him. Something's happening with this thing. Yeah. It's the ultimate purpose.
You're buffering.
Oh, I am? Wow, that's exciting.
You're having a spiritual experience on
me. Okay. Wait a minute. Sorry, I couldn't help it. Okay, so nurturing our relationship with God gives us the power we need to be of service, and that just leads me in. Unmute me, please.
I know, we hear you.
Oh. Okay. I'm back. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Okay, where was I? I think I was at nurturing.
Having a spiritual experience.
Oh, I am. Yes, I was buffered. Nurturing our relationship with God gives us the power we need to be of service, and that leads us to step 12 next week, which will be my final week. But in closing, what I want to do is end with a prayer. And as a prayer, you all know, you all have heard, I have tried to memorize this prayer, and I'm just having some trouble with that. I don't know why. So I'm sticking with the step 3 prayer because it's easier for me to remember. But this prayer is the prayer of St. Francis. And if you would, you know, maybe close your eyes and listen to it as I say it, because this is what our whole purpose is. And I just love this prayer, so here goes. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. O Divine Master, grant that I may not seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. There's so much going on in our world today. There's a lot of things that I bring to prayer in the morning as I think about them all day. But the one thing that I count on is the fact that I'm connected. I'm connected with my higher power, and I'm connected with all of you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Marilyn. And now the question and answer portion of the program. Anybody here in the room with a question? Anybody on Zoom, go ahead and unmute and fire away.
I'll start out tonight. Thank you so very, very much, Marilyn. Great to hear you.
Hi, Helen.
I recently had a sponsee who has less than a year sober. She's basically on step 8 right now, but she has been praying in the morning and in the evening. And she said to me, I can't seem to make myself pray. I just don't know what's going on. And I gave her a suggestion or two, but I'd like to hear your suggestion for that situation, please.
Okay, I'll give it a try. Thank you, Helen. I think that, when I've worked with people in similar situations, I go back to my experience with prayer and in the beginning, and I didn't have the foggiest clue. Whatever prayers I was doing in the past were mainly help me prayers because I was in a jam, and I was just help me, and the interesting thing is he did. But I think that we have this idea sometimes that prayer has to be formal. And that got me into a kind of a state of confusion. So I think prayer can just be kind of a stream of consciousness thing where you just, you know, be in a... I'll often just... ask God to be present, and you know, whatever's on my mind, I will just say. But the formality, if we're not used to praying, it's hard. But there's prayers in the big book, there's prayer books, there's things that can kind of get people kind of accustomed to praying, and making it feel more comfortable. I don't think it takes very long for prayer to get comfortable. At least it hasn't for me over the years here in recovery, because it's something I want to do. I want to be present with my higher power. I want to be empowered by God, and I want to listen to His Spirit. But prayer isn't just help me, help me, help me. It's not asking for something, but I think I mentioned in here it can be gratitude, thankfulness, adoration. I just love just looking out at nature through our A-frame, and it's like, oh man, this is beautiful, thank you. I know Gina has a sticker on her car that says, good job, God. And I like that. It's a very simple kind of a gratitude. I call it a prayer. So I think it can be very simple and not formal. And maybe just one of the things I've done with a couple people that had some difficulty with prayer is I prayed with them. You know, I prayed after our meeting together, or, you know, I'd pray, they'd pray, that type of thing, to just sort of get them to be at ease with the process. Hope that helps.
Ryan, alcoholic. I've never really been involved with church besides like early in my life, and for me recently it's been hard for me to pray or be involved with God. Mm-hmm. And you talk about a higher power, and for me right now I'm trying to find that higher power, and for me not involved with God and not believing in that, what would that higher power be, or what would I look towards for that higher power?
Well, I think that in early recovery, for some people, it's the rooms, it's the meetings, it's the people, it's the connections that we make in here. And I thoroughly believe that God reveals Himself through other people too. A sponsor, somebody. Sometimes I've had people who've given a lead, and I've just felt connected. So I think sometimes we think it has to happen all at once, and it doesn't. It's a gradual process. So hang in there, because the more to be revealed is what I would say.
Hi, Marilyn. It's Jim over here hiding behind the TV.
I see that.
Hi, Helen. Is church an outside issue?
I don't know.
The reason I ask is I see a lot of commingling nowadays between AA and church.
Yeah.
And to me, it's disconcerting, because I think it should be separated. But I just wonder what you thought about it.
Well, I do have opinions. They're only my opinions, but some of them I'll spare you. But I think a lot of us have had very unfortunate experiences through sort of dogmatic theologies. I think I mentioned that in here a little bit. And it just leaves us kind of cold. I believe that we have a right to the God of our understanding, and I personally don't want anybody imposing theirs on me, and I try very hard not to impose my beliefs on others. And some people have found it very helpful to go back to a organized church or religion, and that may be how they experience and work out their connection with God, their God consciousness. But as far as, I don't want to hear any dogmatic theology in AA. And actually, there are some dogmas that I hear in AA, and I just try to stay away from that, because that's not what we're here for. So I hope that helps, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. Carolyn, alcoholic. Marilyn, thank you so much for another great explication. And I was just wondering, as a practical matter, kind of nuts and bolts stuff, I was directed to read the 11th step out of the big book by my sponsor. Just read it. And so that's what I do in the morning, and then I have some other literature, you know, books, like right over there, that I read, and I wonder what your practice is. Thanks.
Well, I have in daily, I have readings, and I switch them up. They're recovery readings, but they're also some spiritual works from different authors. And I also I read in Joe McHugh, and he tends to put a very spiritual, he even quotes scripture sometimes in there. But I find I have to sort of broaden my horizon sometimes. And the big book's great. And the 12 and 12, that's where I get a lot of clarity on the steps. But I got some clarity from the 12 and 12 when I was preparing for tonight. But I don't think we have to stick with one thing. But I like the fact that, you know, you follow what your sponsor, you know, suggests. You know, it's like they know. My sponsor knows better than me on a lot of things. She's been around longer, and I respect her spiritual program. So, you know, there's so much literature out there on recovery, but also, you know, explaining spiritual practices. So I think the Spirit will lead you to where you need to be for your unique relationship with God. I don't, as I said, it's not a cookie cutter thing. So,
thank you, Marilyn. Renee, alcoholic.
Oh, there you are.
So my question is, it says praying only for His will for us and the power to carry that out. Do you strictly abide by only praying for His will for us? Like, do you, or do you pray for, you know, so-and-so's happiness, or, you know what I'm, do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Do you strictly abide by the only for His will for us?
My first prayer in the morning is usually the surrender prayer. Surrendering to His will. I try not to approach my higher power with demands or what I think He needs to do for so-and-so. Right now, I have quite a quite a concern for my daughter. And a person in the rooms had a saying that I have been praying all day because she had a procedure today. I haven't heard yet, but I figured she'd have to sleep, you know. So probably I'll hear later on tonight. But healer's choice. That's all I say. And my healer, I believe, is my higher power. So I try not to, you know, like if somebody's going through something, I'll say, please be with so-and-so, and your will be done. But I have a strong ego that wants to take over because I just think I know best, you know. And so I'd much rather turn that over and pray only for his will, because my will can really take me to bad places. And it can really mess up relationships. It has. I've seen it, me do it. So I pray only for his, God's will or his will for me, and the power. The power to me is me listening to his guidance, and I believe that's through that inner God space or that spiritual space within us. The, as Pascal says, the God-shaped vacuum that we can only fill with a higher power. Hope that helps.
Hi, Marilyn. Thanks again for doing what you've been doing over the past weeks. And I know that you like to hike, and I was wondering how this step may have got you through some part of one of your journeys on the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, yeah, it did. We've had some interesting experiences on the trail. One of the things that's always been a problem for me is asking for help. And I've had to ask for help. There's places on the trail, on the Appalachian Trail, that has rebar to pull yourself up, or rocks that are taller than I am. And I have had to ask for help from Buzz to get me over those rocks. But the most recent situation was 3 years ago, where I blew my knee out on the trail, and we were in the 100-mile wilderness in Maine. So you're in the wilderness. We were 65 or something miles in. And they don't have, like, a lot of access roads. There is a lake. And yes, I prayed, but I got real smug, though, I will tell you that. I'm sitting in the woods, and poor Buzz is like, he's staring up into space. And I said something really, really rather smart-mouthed, and said, you were a Boy Scout. Figure something out. And he did. But in the process, I was praying for help, praying. And I know that there's always a solution. It's just that sometimes I try to do it my way. Well, because I was going to try to walk out with no meniscus in my knee. It's all gone. So very quietly, without any words, he takes his air mattress that it self-inflates, ties it to my leg, blows it up, and makes an air cast. And then I had a Spaniard from Spain who stunk just about as bad as I did, and he carried me across a stream, or it was a river, actually, with these big boulders in it, and was going to carry me all the way to the lake where I could get a boat over to a place to stay. So, yeah, I don't think you can do much hiking or without realizing the presence of a higher power, because I certainly have grown spiritually through those experiences. And I'm very grateful I can stand on my legs today.
Okay. I think that's it. Thank you, Marilyn.